Russell, the movement toward your book, The End of Suffering, Fearless Living in Troubled Times, and I love this, or How to Get Out of Hell for Free. You know what? It's about time. Tell me how you decided to write this book.
Well, it started sitting in the dark room at Stanford Research Institute, where I had this decade of experience discovering that who I am could not possibly be just a physical body, because my awareness filled all of space-time. It was crystal clear that I was able to describe and experience things and events and people in the distance and in the future, so I couldn't possibly be just a body, because my awareness was all over the universe that had nothing to do with my body. So it'd be silly to think that I was just the meat and potatoes sitting in my chair. So I began to have spiritual feelings and investigations. And in the course of that, I left Lockheed because I felt that that was not the place for me, and returned to my roots and doing laser research. I went to Lockheed, which is probably not a big improvement over SRI, but I was doing laser work rather than a part of a top secret program. I wasn't working with the CIA anymore. And the first thing I discovered at Lockheed with my laser activity, in reading the Lockheed newspaper that's published every week, I would notice that they had an in memoriam section, and people would be retiring from Lockheed and then die within a couple of years. And that's very disturbing, of course, for a new employee, where I saw that people would retire at 65 and die at 67 or die at 68. So being a good statistician, I got 100 of the past newspapers and quickly calculated that the observed life expectancy of a retiring engineer was 3 more years, whereas you would expect a guy who would live to be 65, he would live to be 80 or 82.
Sure.
Because a 65-year-old had passed all the hazards. He wasn't going to get killed in the war. He wasn't going to be shot in the face by his hunting partner. He avoided all the hazards. So my question is, why are people dying so rapidly? And in talking to psychologists, what I realized is that people died because they lost the idea of their own self. When you got to be 65 at Lockheed, you were very proud that you were a Lockheed engineer. That's what it said on your business card.
Right.
And at least in Silicon Valley, being a Lockheed engineer was a prestigious member of the community. You'd been there for many, many years. And then the government takes away your badge, Lockheed tears up your business card, sends you home with nothing to do but annoy your wife, and suddenly instead of being a staff scientist at Lockheed, you're nothing. They've taken away the story of who you are. And this was early death occurred at Lockheed and at Boeing and Bell Telephone Laboratory, and also for Army officers, and it's really the loss of a person's ego. We invest a lot of energy in defending the story of who we think we are. And when you lose that story, you suddenly become nothing if you think that who you are is that story. It's as though another source of a lot of suffering is the idea that if you think that what you see in the mirror in the morning is who you are, you all know that that leads to a lot of suffering. You don't want to be simply what you see in the mirror in the morning. And the teaching is, what remote viewing leads you to discover, is you couldn't possibly be just that face you see in the mirror, but really you're a spirit, you're an awareness that fills all of space-time. So on the one hand, you have all these engineers who are dying very prematurely when their business card, when their story gets snipped off. And the other people we know who have trouble are the movie stars and record and famous singers, rock stars like Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley the King and Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison and our favorite Jimi Hendrix. All these people, the musicians in that group, Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison, The Doors, had all platinum or double platinum records being produced when they killed themselves. Marilyn Monroe had just gotten a new contract with Fox when she did herself in. And all these people were very depressed and wound up killing themselves with alcohol and sleeping pills. Just a well-tried and true way of putting yourself to sleep permanently, because it's as though their self had been stolen from them by their fans. It's a kind of Dionysian murder where their ego, their identity, was just ripped out of their body, and these rock stars began to believe that who they were was what appeared on the cover of the album or what you saw on the screen.
So true, Russell. And they let it happen to themselves.
Well, it's very seductive. The phone is ringing, and you got this pink Cadillac, and people are telling you you're wonderful. And you begin to think that you begin to identify in a disastrous way with your story. Arthur Miller, the great playwright, was Marilyn Monroe's husband. And in his biography of his wife, Marilyn Monroe, he says what was lethal is the fact that there became no separation between his wife, Marilyn, and the girl that was her great comedic creation, the girl on the screen. The whispering, lisping Marilyn became inseparable from his wife, and then she died. So one of the clues to end your suffering is to get away from the idea that who you are is this story of your life. I recently saw a program about prisoners, and a man, young man, was explaining that yes, he did shoot the guy who just walked by him on the street. And he said, "Well, he disrespected me. I had to kill him." And that's why the SUVs are pushing me off the road on my little motorbike, because there's a kind of aggression that we see in the streets with crowding and fearfulness, that everybody is asserting their ego and asserting who they think they are because they're defending the story. And part of that's because of the times we live in.